Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian.
America, welcome one and all. Well, my friends, we meet again, and the Barbarian on the radio airwaves and your Generation X host. New callers get first in line at 563-999-3437 on each and every show. As I have spoken to you before, I will talk with clarity. I'll make sense of the news for you. Many of you already know what's going on. And with the full authority of the show that lay before me and the studio that is with me from Valhalla Studios on this interstellar radio journey, we are all on together, my friends. Tonight will be a great night, like every show. Now, we're going to have some good VIP guests coming up, too, this fall and winter. Can you imagine we're already in middle of September? Well, we're in Indian summer in most of the land of the fruited plain. I know we are that way in Arizona, even Texas. Indian summer is still lingering. Another several weeks here until it's going to really finally be purged for the fall. We'll finally hit like the hammer strikes. Well, the Von Wiehunt Show is on tonight. We'll talk about the southern Texas border crisis with Mexico, and how migrants who were just country shopping for benefits and natural resources, aren't they always? They have come over our border in over 25 plus countries. They've been documented coming over from many countries, and more are on the way, while the government does absolutely nothing about it. Eagle Pass, Texas is under siege. And Mr. and Mrs. America, I'll tell you, when you finally realize that the powers that be are never going to do anything about it, and they have no plan to make your life better by any degree imaginable, that is the first step to really opening up your eyes, America. We ask you to join us each week. This is our church session on the radio. As I said before, new callers and new chatters in the chat room are always welcome. Well, the 14 words have come up this week in the news. Many of you know what this is, but it's a reference to a very popular, they'll call it a white supremacist slogan. It says, we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. The slogan was coined by David Lane, a member of the white supremacist group known as the Order back in the day. So I told you before, our future is truly in our own hands, as there is no one coming to save us. Now, saying the 14 words scares the hell out of the media establishment, Hollywood, rhinos and cucks, and the Republican Party, and especially Democrat Marxists and the jackass Democrat Party. scares them to no end. For you even to, in their view, have the arrogance and the audacity and the sense of mind, the sense of will to want to protect your own white children, a white family, a white community. To them, that's arrogant. That's audacious. Haven't you bought into the diversity, equity, and inclusion Biden world? We've all been sold the Biden-Obama world. How dare you, they say, utter those words. How dare you even think that way? You mean to tell me that our brainwashing isn't complete? That you're not for the advancement of colored people? You're not for the advancement of all third world immigrants coming into America with a K, America? You're not for that? Well, then you're a domestic terrorist, they'll say, right? And they'll point their little beady finger in your face. How dare you think otherwise, Mr. and Mrs. America? How dare you want to take care of your own? How dare you not buy in, hook, line, and sinker, to all their Democrat, Marxist, and media lies? See, they've been working on brainwashing you for generations. This is nothing new. It's an agenda. It's a rollout. It's a program to get you to buy in to diversity, equity, and inclusion, to want the advancement, their own words, of all colored people to your detriment. See, what they've said is you've lived too good over here, Mr. and Mrs. Whitey. You got a house in the suburbs. Your kids have lived too. Your ancestors stole everything, is all the garbage that they say. Hell, was the white man a woman who built this country? It was. And if you don't know that, go back to your history books. There were not that many slaves, as they say, back in the day. And they did not build up the entire country. Because, I can prove it to you, 99% were on plantations. They were in gated communities. They were contained. And they were contained mainly in the South. They were not roaming around Chicago and New York and Philadelphia and all over Virginia and Texas building up the country. All that crap, the Democrat Marxist Party, all fantasy. It's what they would like to have happened. I call it a political fantasy. Political fantasies are just that. They're fantasies of the leftists, and they're not real. Not one iota is real. Well, how dare you even utter the 14 words, Von Wehunt, they would say. How dare you? Don't you know that you're not going to get syndicated now, or you're not going to go to the next step in the radio blogosphere? You're not going to be invited on the trendy talk shows? I told you a long time ago, I don't give a rat's ass about that. I'm the real deal, baby. I'm the fucking brick wall. I'm very nice when I want to be, but I'm also very mean when I want to be. Never lost a fight in school. I get challengers, I'll take them on. The German in me comes out in spades. I never started a fight, I couldn't finish. People used to start fights with me, and I clean the floor with them. Same thing true in today. We're all nice people until we're not. Don't forget that. And we have our government that keeps poking the Russian bear, and they also keep poking you domestically. That's why I love to piss them off. If this show is too offensive for you, turn the dial. I don't care. I don't care. Seriously. If you're a weak snowflake or millennial or some tinfoil hat liberal guy, don't want you anyway. Go. Go watch your CNN. Go watch your MSNBC. We know they're the past. We know they're fake news. We know we are the future. Oh, yes. We are changing the hearts and minds of Americans step by step, brick by brick. Rome wasn't built in a day, you know. And we're far smarter. We can outthink and outmaneuver them. Hell, I can run circles around those people. I'll tie them up with their own words. I thought I'd bring it up tonight because it's come up a lot lately. Yeah, the 14 words, God forbid. Don't buy into all their liberal Marxist crap. Because what's coming, they're not going to like. This country is at a crossroads in more ways than one. Well, our future is truly, as I told you before, in our very own hands. There's no federal agency coming to save us. No big bank. Don't forget, the big corporations and the big banks, they are too big to fail, but we're not. They're going to let you fail in middle America. I told you before, don't get demoralized. They'll try desperately to demoralize you. They want to impoverish you. They want to make the economy so bad that you'll be begging them for a handout, begging them for some crumbs. Or their Hollywood friends fly around in their private jets, lecturing you and me on climate change. How wonderful. We got Biden constantly effing with Russia. And I give Russia a lot of credit for their restraint, for not attacking America, for not attacking NATO. They have every right to. And they're building their case, which I'll go into this show. They're building their case for a strike. Or America, you heard it here first. No other show would dare talk about that because you put on other talk shows and they say, oh, everything's just great. Just keep voting Republican. There's a chicken in every pot. Everything's wonderful. Everyone's got a job. Yeah, Biden's bad, but trust the plan. You know, Trump's going to bail us out. Trump's not my God. I like Trump, and I wish him very well. But he's not the Messiah. He's got a track record, which we talked about on the show before. He's the front runner, and I give credit where credit's due. Nobody can touch him with a 10-foot pole. And I like that because Trump really rattles their fucking cages. Well, the patron saint of this show, St. Michael the Archangel, we will say his prayer tonight. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle and the battles to come. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen and amen. The wealthy in the United States, Beltway in Washington, D.C., have deep underground bases stocked with years' worth of provisions. They think they will be fine. The rest of us, maybe not so much. But the ancient Indians, the Hopi tribes in northern Arizona, tell us that the deep underground dumbs, as they're called, their deep underground bunkers, any kind of a calamity will be sealed over, and it will be their tomb. That's what they say. They're spending all this money to hide away from us when it hits the fan. But God will take care of them. It has been said, it has been written. It's also been reported this week that the FBI had so many paid informants at the January 6th riot that they actually lost track of them all and had to perform an official audit, officials have said. Well, on this show, we told you so, America. I'm so glad my listeners were not there. I told you, this is one Trump rally you don't want to go to, and I've been to three. You don't want to go to that one. I knew that was a setup. We told you that event was a Fed setup in the very beginning. One thing about me, my political instincts are really razor sharp, and I could smell a rat before they even announced that damn thing. That's going to be a massive federal setup here on hostile territory. All the alphabet agents are going to be out there. And why wouldn't they? Think about it. This is Washington, D.C. It's their turf, baby. Their territory. Yeah, that's where they work and live. They're not going to let you just waltz in there and say down with the government, rah-rah Trump, and leave town peacefully. If you thought that, you were very naive. I've told you time and time again. If you go to D.C., I'd only go in an organized group, maybe a travel group to the White House or the Smithsonian, see some museums, eat some good food, and get the hell out of there. Being a group for safety. The crime alone is bad. If you get out of line, you're on hostile territory. Don't be driving around D.C. with a gun rack and that Confederate flag. That's hilarious that you do. Every now and then, about once a month, somebody does that. And they get pulled over and harassed by the police. We have dissidents that are still in jail, in prison from January the 6th. I don't see Trump talking about them or anybody else for that matter. They're just, like I told you, they locked them all up and they threw away the key. Oh, a few have gotten out, this and there, but the vast majority are still there. Once most Americans realize, they told you that the government is not going to make your lives better, your eyes will open up. We are coming up on some major, major things economically and politically and globally in the next couple of years. You heard it here first. Lexington and Concord, the spirit of 1776. Never forget that. Well, there's a figure of Greek mythology named Cassandra. Her curse is that she can see the future and all the cataclysms to come, but nobody ever believes her. Sound familiar? Well, a new flood of immigrants have crossed into the United States over the past several days through a new gap in the border area at Eagle Pass, Texas, forcing the overwhelmed border city to declare a state of emergency to get state and federal aid, per Reuters. Believe it. And they're mainly, again, it's military-age males coming across the southern border. At some point, I can see nefarious people, nefarious agents, put it that way, dropping boxes of AK-47s and ammo for them to grab on their way into America. Tonight's show is called Scout's Motto, Be Prepared. Episode 173, they started September 21st, 2023. That's right. The Scout's motto is always to be prepared, America. Armed up, we don't know what's coming, how, why, what, or when. We know something big comes our way. Well, the officials in Eagle Pass, Texas, said that the border city has been overrun by a new flood of immigrants, with 2,500 crossing into the U.S. if they have counted over 2 days. I would double that to about 5,000. That's probably still conservative. And another 4,000 expected to enter by the end of yesterday, being Wednesday. Now, I have put on my Gab page, which came from a different website, Border Patrol agents. You can go there on my Gab page and scroll down a bit. They're clearly being seen. They were videotaped in very close-up detail. This is no CGI. It's not been tampered with. They were viewed cutting the barbed wire and allowing illegal aliens to pour into and enter our nation unchecked, unvetted. When they were allowed to just walk through, they cut the barbed wire and they pulled it back, and the video was there plain as day. And they never even asked them to wear a freaking mask. The fact that our own public employees, whose paychecks come directly from the U.S. taxpayer, our hard-earned tax dollars, are clearly aiding and abetting persons making illegal entry into our nation shows the scope and the depth and the outright treachery we Americans face every day. The American people are being willfully betrayed, it seems, apparently, by our own public servants, allegedly, of course. And that video shows it all. We don't know who these guys are, but that would be left unsaid at this time. But you can see the video for yourself. Well, in my life, I have never seen a presidential regime like the Biden regime try so desperately and be so hell-bent to actually get us into a hot war with Russia. As you know, we are in a cold war with Russia. I don't care what the media says. Cold war is not over. Well, it stalled for a while. Now it's ramped back up in the sense that we're aiding Ukraine. Russia's at war with Ukraine. And they haven't targeted us yet. Now, just tonight, they bombed 50 NATO areas or back storage areas in Ukraine, Russia did. They had a lot of hits there. They got ammo depots. They got barracks, mercenary barracks. And that was hit just tonight before the show. 50 missiles came from Russia into Ukraine. And they targeted NATO equipment as a warning to the West of what they can do. You got to read these strikes with some clarity of thought. That wasn't just a random strike. They targeted that to let NATO know this is what we're going to do to you if you continue. Amazing. Well, there's many enemies out there that the darkness awaits. They are shadows in the dark. And the Von Wien Show reigns supreme. We will expose them all for what they are. Now, looking just domestically, since this show caters to a wide audience in over 28 countries. We're growing by leaps and bounds. Let's talk a bit about the programming in America, domestically, closer to home, if you will. Well, American women have been so programmed to hate men in America, to one-up them, to challenge them. I don't know where women got this stupid idea that men love to be challenged. Men do not like to be challenged every microsecond. They don't. And the ones that do are psychotic. Women got this funny idea. They challenge men in the workforce. They add a lot to the toxic dating environment. The American women don't even want to meet you for a date. Unbelievable. I have guys call the show all the time. They email me about how bad it is out there. And I said, look, I'll tell American women this. You're pricing yourself out of the marketplace in like any commodity or product. If you're a young woman, you are a commodity or product to men. And we are to you probably too. But if you price yourself out of the marketplace, and if men give you first right of refusal in this country and you buck their every attempt, don't get pissed, don't have a hissy fit when men go overseas to get what they want. America needs to go, I hate to say it, through a karmic cycle, and the country's back against the wall yet again before things will dramatically change inside the country, socially, domestically, and especially between the sexes. The men are called passport bros. We've talked about this before on my bachelor shows, and he segued that show too once a month, first Tuesday of every month. And we're going to talk about that more in the first Tuesday of October, which, can you believe it's coming up? Well, the anti-God world of the Democrats has been achieved. If you look at the world today, you don't see God in much of anything, do you? They're atheists, agnostics, demonic characters that permeate the Democrat Marxist Party. With all that going on, they're gutting our economy left and right. When a country's central bank starts literally losing money each and every day, countries around the world will start to notice that really, really quickly. And there is no sign at all that that's going to be stopping. It came out today as well that 40% of America will be broke by October the 23rd. It's coming up. They're going to be broke. They're already tapped out. Credit cards are maxed out. Hard to find work for a lot of people. Companies are really picky. I tell people if you have a job or if you're being given an offer, take it. Because the problem is when things get bad, companies get super picky. And they know there's a lot of people looking, and they get even more selective than before.
Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. No excuses for putting America first. Von Wiehunt, the Barbarian, Thursday at 8 p.m. The Von Wiehunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wiehunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wiehunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wiehunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wiehunt, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m.
You're damn right. Now, you've been out to restaurants and things about the economy and noticed that they're not empty, but there's not as many people on a Saturday night. I went out with a few friends on Saturday night, and you looked around. And I said, this is Saturday frickin' night in Phoenix, Scottsdale, 8 p.m., prime time. This place used to be packed, wall to wall. People drinking at the bar. Restaurant was busy. Probably no more than 15 people in the restaurant on a Saturday weekend night. Now, if that isn't any indicator of the larger economy, I don't know what is. That's happened several times, actually. I always gauge the public watching human behavior, seeing what's going on. That's amazing. talk to the manager. Hey, what's going on? I don't know. I go, I think they're all tapped. People are tapped out. Their credit cards are maxed out. And they don't have the cash. See, Americans don't have liquidity. They've gone through their savings. There's no more COVID paychecks coming. Biden already told you that. They're going to give money to Ukraine. Say, screw you, Mr. and Mrs. America. Screw you. This money goes to Ukraine. Doesn't go to you. They gave you a few checks, pat you on the head, and send you about your way. Unbelievable. Well, one financial house, some high-up financial analysts, said verbatim that things are imploding, slow but sure, and the parasites are looting the place on their way out the door. They know the jig is up. Do we have an October surprise? I hope not. I don't want that at all. But we could have an October surprise economically in this country. And we could have a military surprise come this winter or spring. It might be Russia. Don't think these idiots that say it's impossible for Russia to attack. It's not impossible. Nothing is impossible in love or war, especially war. This show is all about war and peace. It's not impossible. I think at some point Russia will do something. They've had a lot of restraint, but if you notice, they've done things incrementally, and they're building a case in the world court against America and our funding of Ukraine. Now, don't get me wrong, there's Cold Warrior guys that go, yeah, we're supposed to, Vaughn. We're supposed to go into Russia and fuck them up and hurt them and you know, gouge their eyes out and shank them. Oh, I get it. Those days are over. We want peace in the world right now. Not peace at any price. There's no sense in looking for a war if there is not one. But we know our intelligence services and the military-industrial complex, all they want is more and more war. That's how they make their money. That's how they get their kickbacks and their suitcases full of cash, as well as other perks of the job. You know what I mean? And I know you know what I mean. Hooker and blow, okay? There you go. I'll spell it out for you, America. I'll spell it out for you. On my show, we don't mince words. Well, they'll collapse the country to get what they want. And I've told you before, like the theme of the show, Scout's motto, I mean that, be prepared. Plan accordingly. And do you know what the word woke even stands for? Well, I'll tell you. Write this down, folks. Class is in session. Woke stands for willingly overlooking known evil. Willingly overlooking known evil. Woke. When I say they're woke, then I would say, well, then you're a disciple of evil. What do you mean? Well, you know what woke stands for. No, you tell. Willingly overlooking known evil. Little play on the words there. Well, we'll talk about the hothead tonight versus the cool head. I want cooler heads to prevail, but in history, oftentimes the hotheads win. Just look at our bloody, bloody history. There is a time and a place for both in the course of human events. Rest assured, there is a time to take out the sword. Yes, there is. And there's a time to prepare for war, like right now. There is a time to prepare for calamity, whether economic, whatever. The bottom line is the bottom line, as they always say. We keep seeing warnings of the second civil war in America and questions of, are we heading for another civil war, 2.0, right? The truth is, we are, in my view, already, we have been in a civil war, a cold civil war. And it, all it's going to take is one major event, I've always said, either political, cultural, or economic, acting as a match to light this unstable powder keg that we call America today. One big event could kick it off. And we don't want that with a law-abiding crowd. But the way they've set up these chess pieces, And these pens, well, they want a civil war, this gentry. And we don't want to fall into the trap. At the same time, you can see where the Democrats and the Republicans, though they are a uniparty in D.C., in the country, they're really far apart from each other. But what's funny is they get to D.C. and they all want to shake hands and have consensus. We must have bipartisan consensus, right? I say screw that. You don't need bipartisan consensus. It's nice if you have it, don't get me wrong, but it's about winning. It's about your ideology trumping, pun intended, the other ideology. It's about winning, defeating your opponent. That's what it's about. We have a lot of people on both sides that mean well, but look, people are fed up, angry. They're going broke, okay? So I got to spell it out for you in the Washington Beltway. You morons out there in D.C., and you are morons. And that's how you're viewed, just so you know it. People are anxious, and they're just waiting for that last shoe to drop, which will light a powder keg the world has never seen, and turn the cold Civil War we are in now into, God forbid, a hot, bloody conflict and or war and or pockets of this and pockets of that. And that's going to be a completely dysfunctional society. If you think the truck stopped during COVID, can you imagine if anything like that ever happened here? We hope not. I pray to God that we avoid these things. I tell these brave guys or pseudo-breakers, they say, oh, I'm ready for it, Vaughn. I'm ready for it. I go, yeah, you want random people shooting at you and you gas up? You want a random sniper trying to gun you down and you walk out a Safeway with a gallon of milk? Really? That's the world that you want. I don't want that world. I know it's out there. Be careful what you wish for, folks. If you want your house surrounded at 3 o'clock in the morning by 20 leftist thugs, really? You want that? We are armed so that never happens. But if you really seek that out, you may get what you want. You may get what you want, America. I always said that. America gets what they want, and they get what they deserve. 40% of Americans will be broke by October 23rd in a recent economic study. By several studies, actually. That makes a lot of sense because I walk around, I always hear the angst among people. Don't have the money. Don't have the cash. Lost their job, truck payment overdue. And by the way, about the truck payments, you know, repos have gone through the roof. Repossessions, cars are at an all-time high. I told you 2 years ago, all these people, God bless them, buying those 40, 50, 60, 70, $80,000 cars and truck rigs and more with huge payments of a grand for 10 years or more now, you know, whopping 5, 6, 7, 8% or more in interest. They can't make that payment. They cannot sustain that. And by the way, the trajectory that we're on is not sustainable. I repeat, the political and economic trajectory, if you draw it out on a graph, is not sustainable for this country. If you're not prepared, if you're not getting ready, getting your ducks in a row, things you're going to need. Because don't forget, when things hit the fan, if they ever do, the stores are not going to open for you. Online could be severely crippled as well because they'll tell the post office they might give them a holiday. That right there would shut eBay down and Amazon. You say, that will never happen, Vaughn. Really? I hate that word, never. People said America would never be shut down during COVID. Look what happened. Recent memory. Look at all the restaurants that closed. They got millions of people to comply and wear the mask. That will never happen, Vaughn. Really? Well, famous last words is what I'm going to tell you while I'm smoking my cigar. Famous last words, kid. Do you have a gun? No. I just got up on this stuff. Well, where have you been the last 10, 20? I've been playing video games. Well, the only thing I will say, you have a lot of hand-eye coordination, which could come in handy, but that's not going to do you much good when they're out for your throat. Get around your own people. We talked about white settlements. We talked about white areas on the last show towards the end. Move. Now's a great time to relocate and move before they shut everything down. And move before the winter sets in if you're thinking about making that move. Get around your own people, your own friends, associates. Be thinking way ahead like this. If you're listening to this show, you're way ahead of the curve. We're way ahead of those people. Listen to the mainstream media. They'll tell you everything is wonderful. Rhinos are not any different. They don't want you to prepare. They never bring these things up because they think they're going to scare you. They think they're going to, oh, we're going to scare the American people. Well, maybe the American people need to be shocked. Maybe they need to be scared into some action. And I'm all about the action, the original action figure, lights, camera, action like Hollywood, and go. I say action takes care of a lot of mistakes you make. Keep moving in the right direction. You'll eventually get there, America. Well, we got a show for you. We got callers. We got promos. We got great music. We got it all. Welcome to the greatest show on planet Earth, the Von Wien Show. At your service, America. We're so glad you're here. The show will commence. Love That by Blut Engel, Reich near the Hand. Well, prepare like your life depends on it, because it very well may. And learn how to shoot a gun, learn how to fight hand-to-hand combat if you need to. Look, I'm from a military family. A lot of these things I took for granted back in the day. I look back and I was trained by, hell, my scoutmaster, I'm an Eagle Scout, was a Green Beret from Vietnam. Okay? So he taught us a lot of things that aren't in the Boy Scout manual. You know what I mean. Get us out there, and they would talk to us, line them up. He'd say, you guys are going to see, it's going to go down in your life. It's going down, brothers. You're the young men. You better get ready. You better boot up. You better suit up. Stop playing around with these stupid, silly board games and learn how to fire some weaponry. Become a real man and get ready. Now, he's a reasonable guy, and I remember what he said. It's true. We don't want anything to happen, but sometimes things in life just fall in your lap, right? This country could fall literally in our collective laps, in the sense that breakdown of this and breakdown of that, mayhem here and mayhem here. See, we're seeing a crime wave in America. Just think about this for a moment, which I do, when things are relatively, quote unquote, good. Things are relatively good. Most people are working. Most people are pumping gas. Yeah, it sucks, $5 a gallon or wherever you're at. But most people have got food in the pantry. Yeah, they're tapped out, but, you know, they have a hope they'll get a better job or a new job, make a few more dollars, pay some more bills. I say kick the can down the road. I've always said that for as long as we can. But at some point, the can won't move. It just, you kick it off in a ditch, and it's gone. There's no more can to kick. And that's where I think America's going. I mean, no more can to kick. We're going to come up against a brick wall. Several brick walls are coming. And amazing what's going to happen then. I always say desperate times produce desperate people. Never forget that. The nice, cool, hippie guy that you thought was down the street that always waved, kind of a weirdo, but super nice guy. It's always the quiet types, too. Oh, he's super nice. That guy will turn into an axe killer, axe murderer, serial killer, when he can't provide for his family. The other guy across the way that always wore the nice clothes and you thought was super cool and nice, friendly, good church-going man, he'll turn into an SS officer overnight. Okay. So right now, I've always said we have the veneer of civilization. The veneer is thin. And it can be cracked. I don't want it to be cracked. I'm telling you that. I don't. But I'm preparing you for that eventuality if it ever happens. Mentally, you've got to get prepared. That's what this show's about. It's about war and peace, geopolitics. Love and war, similar. But we are a world at war. And I say that phrase on every show and always will, because it's true. I can't tell you with a straight face that we're a world of peace. We're not. We're not a world of love. We're not, though I wish that we were. This is a world of war. And wars do solve a lot of problems. Don't believe the liberal crap you've been taught. All politics, eventually, I don't care how you slice it or dice it, comes out of the barrel of a gun. Tell that to the American revolutionaries who knew that in 1776. Take any group in the world. Now, we're not advocating that or inciting it or inferring it at all. However, you got to know history. You got to know what's going on. You got to know about your ancestors. You got to know what's happening. Be prepared is this show's thing. You don't advocate anything violent in the real world, but be prepared. We're not going to make those first moves anyway. But you got to be thinking about it so if these things do happen, you can react very quickly. Like the Minutemen of 1770, to get your mind wrapped around these things, and it's going to protect you in more ways than one. friend or foe, they would say, as you came down the cobblestone street. Friend or foe with the bayonet out. Who the hell are you? And why are you here? Well, it may come down to that. I can see easily in America in the foreseeable future. And this isn't 100 years away in our lifetime. We're going to have armed communities with guards, their own guards, that they're going to pay for. They're not going to rely on the 911 police that's been ordered to stand down anyway. Look at anything recently. What is the common theme of any mayor or governor or chief of police? I've ordered you to stand down. They say it every time while the mayhem and the bloodshed goes on. I'm telling you, don't be a victim. Be the victor. Now, I want to get into this really quick here before I get to the calls. We're going to get EMP up first. But bringing in millions and millions of migrants into America is worsening our water situation. I mentioned this on Gab today. Did you know that the water levels along the, not the West Coast, not Nevada, not Lake Mead by Vegas, the Mississippi River, the water levels are plummeting for the second year in a row after this summer's blistering heat and low rainfall triggered extreme drought across parts of the central Midwest United States. Now, fact, I've told you this before, all experts agree on one thing. They don't agree on climate change, but they do agree on this, that all adult humans, whether they're from Mexico or America, it doesn't matter. Adult humans need and require, keyword require, approximately 10 to 15 gallons pure water, and err on the side of 15 gallons, by the way. They need 10 to 15 gallons of water per day to cook, clean, and to facilitate any home, give or take. So just a million new migrants, just a million, we're being conservative here, equals 15 million gallons of pure water that they will need per day. Simple math, folks. We simply do not have the water that we used to have since millions of more people are invading our land and being dumped on our shores, and they're sucking our lakes and rivers dry, literally dry. This, compounded with severe climate and weather and storm activity, et cetera, make the situation that much more worse, an exacerbation. This water situation has now spread to the Midwest of the U.S. of A. and will continue in my book as long as we allow a constant flow of illegal people of many countries into our country, to our nation, unchecked. We simply do not have, contrary to what you've been told, the water resources to quench the world's thirst and the needs of the entire world. They will simply have to fend for themselves, as we all do. Now, our nation has been blessed by God on multiple, multiple fronts. We have been blessed in this country. Thank God. And water is one thing we were blessed with, millions, trillions of gallons of fresh water. But again, we are in a blessed land, and that's not going to last. We keep bringing in, 10, 20 million people sucking up everything dry. They got to drink, they got to bathe, and jokes aside, they're going to eventually. When they get in, when they get their government housing, and the government gives them a shower and a free apartment at your taxpayer expense. Yeah. Look, we're coming up on some man-made climate and natural resource crises in this country. Government-made. The government, by now watching the border, is going to cause a water crisis in America. To stop this, we need to stop all people, legal or illegal. I don't give a damn. I've told you that before. I want them all gone. Coming into this country and deport those by force who do not belong here, period. End the story. At the bayonet point, yes, if we need to. I am not against families. I want them to prosper. I want them to do well. I sincerely do. Of whatever creed, nationality. I don't care if they're purple or little green men from Mars. I want them all to do well. But I want them to do well in their country. We cannot feed, clothe, house, and water millions of newcomers with a $33-plus trillion debt, which we achieved a few weeks ago. We will not have the water resources in the near future to do this. It's coming like a big tsunami, pun intended, and a big water crisis is brewing, telling you. Let's get to EMP. EMP, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Ron? I mean, you know, they call us insurrectionists for the people who showed up at the January 6th thing, right? They call them insurrectionists.
Yes.
But I posed this question in a chat room a while back. Who are the real insurrectionists? There is an answer to that question. It's not a rhetorical question. The real insurrectionists are the leftists. The real insurrectionists are the people who support the leftists, like, I don't know, BLM and Antifa, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, think about it this way, Vaughn. What was the Civil War? What an insurrection against the government of the United States. That's what it was. The Civil War was an insurrection.
That's right.
When the South went off and fired on Fort Sumter, that's what it was.
They had enough. They do not want to be part of the Union Jack anymore. They said, we're done with you guys. The breakup starts today. Fire the cannons. That's what happened.
Right.
People have enough,
right,
and the cannons get fired. I'm telling you, it's all throughout history. Yeah.
Yep. And that's the thing. And Vaughn, I mean, it's coming. It's coming. You think they're trying to bring back the whole masks and lockdowns and stuff? You think people, now that we have a sort of a taste of what it is to not have to deal with that stuff, the American people are going to allow them to try and force us into doing that? No way. You're going to send somebody and say, okay, you're going to mask up and, you know, we're going to lock you down in your house. What's going to happen to that person that shows up to enforce those rules? He's going to meet Dr. Loveland, you know? That's what's going to happen. You know? Just like the whole thing with, okay, we got back into the WHO, right? It was Biden that got Trump got us out of it, but Biden got us back into it. And the WHO wants us to, if we say they want to take away our medical sovereignty, right? And they want to say, if we say you got to do this, then you're going to do it. Well, one, how are they going to enforce that here in America, okay, when if they show up and go door to door and show up, and you're going to get a Bubba that says, oh, you're going to try and lock me down? Meet Mr. Loveland, you know, Dr. Loveland there. You know, and that's the thing. That's exactly what's going to happen. We Americans are known for being rabble rousers. That's what happened.
Yes, we
with
are.
That's what happened with our friends back in 1770s, right? Oh yeah, we had a long fuse. It took us 10 years to get to the point where 20% of the people were with us, right? It took
That's
us
right.
that long. It took us a decade, maybe a decade and a half. You know, they were conscripting our taxes, and they were conscripting our guys into the English military and all that stuff. So it took us 10 years. But this thing, this Civil War thing, has been brewing for at least 10 years in America.
Oh yeah.
All right. It's only going to take a strike, some kind of a strike of a match or strike of a cigarette lighter or whatever, just, you know, like what happened in Hawaii. It only took a lightning bolt to strike that fire in Hawaii on Maui.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
They wanted them dead. They want that Maui land. They can't fool me. That's not a natural occurrence. Bunch of BS.
No.
People said, oh, it was the packed grass. That would have exacerbated it, but the initial spark was not just that. It was, come on, that there's so many videos out about that now, and them blocking people off, wanting them to die in the flames. So they can swoop in as vultures, as they always do. Deep state, they're big deep state corporations can buy up all the land at pennies on the dollar. Remember, are dealing with demonic entities. These are satanic people. They do not believe in God or the rule of law. They think they're above the law, number one, and they think that everything in the world should be theirs. And if you're on beautiful Maui beachfront property, and maybe your great-great-grandfather was a surfer, cool Hawaiian dude, right? And he smoked the ganja. That's been in your family for generations. They don't care. They go, we want that land. We want to build there. That's all. We want to kick you out. You know? Yeah, that's what it's about.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where we're coming up on some crossroads, man, definitely, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, look at what happened when Biden went to Hawaii and the reaction the Hawaiian people gave to Joe Biden. Oh, here comes the finger.
Oh, yeah.
They
sure
don't like him.
Oh, yeah, they flipped off his motorcade. If you're out there in radio land, when Joe Biden went to Maui, the local Hawaiians flipped off his entire motorcade and protested it. So that didn't make the mainstream news. They submerged that. I put that up front and center on my Gab page. A couple of videos about that. And getting back to what you said, EMP, about, 1776 and all that. Don't forget, folks, we don't want anything bad to happen. But I'm telling you, throughout history, bad things have happened. So we confront reality on the ground. I, as your Generation X host, I don't mince from that. I don't mince from a fight or anything like that. I will tell you, I do know my history, that the Revolutionary War was about 20 years, really 20 or 30 years in the making. There were problems in the 1750s, late 40s, 1760s. The British troops were manhandling people in the colonies. I remember they would walk up to your house and say, you've got a quarter, five British troops. Your neighbor's got a quarter, five, and you got to feed them and bathe them and everything else. And if they want to rape your wife, you got to put up with that crap. Yeah. And then your son, we're going to draft his ass into the British Navy, never to be seen again. If he disobeys us, we'll make him walk the plank and the sharks can eat him. This is the
right.
This is reality. Okay. So you're in the colonies. I'll make it as base to you as I possibly can. This is going on. You're slowly but surely you're drifting away from Mother England, and you're beginning to say, hey, F these guys. We've got guns. We've got muskets. Let's take the whole bitch over. Take the whole effing thing over. And that's what happened.
Right.
They got in the taverns, and it was really a tavern bar way of communication. Word travels fast in bars, right? Ever read the bathroom wall? Well, join or die was their motto, join or die. And they meant it. Either join us or we're not going to suffer if you get caught in the crossfire there, buddy. You better join.
That's right.
Okay. And they didn't need the majority. They weren't looking for consensus. All we need is 3%. And they were the 3%. Now, half the colonies were like today, indifferent, afraid, cowering, didn't know which way the wind was going to blow, and they'd be the like of the Viet Cong. If you were in Washington's army, they'd kiss your ass, and the Brits come in, they'd kiss their ass. Oh, here's food. Here's apple cider. Here's some muskets. Right? They weren't sure. Those people will always be out there, the fence sitters. Don't worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
They go which way the wind blows. So we're going to blow the wind for them, and they'll come our way, and they'll get in line or else. Okay? That's how they operate.
Right.
I know them really well. Same thing in the Civil War.
Right.
This was brewing in the 1840s, 1850s, brewing for 20 years. Oh, read the speeches in Congress about the property rights and the slave states and the free states and all the heated debate, almost fist fights in our Congress, our early Congress. In fact, several broke out in our early. These were rough and tumble guys that had some money, but they got into Congress and they took the street with them. Have you insulted me, Virginia? I'm from Tennessee. I'll kick your ass. Stuff like that.
Yep.
Sure. We were a rough, I always said America, we were like a young teenage boy, rough and tumble, full of testosterone, full of dreams, and full of violence when it was applied to the right areas. It can do magical things. Applied in the right doses, it can. Now, we don't advocate that, but again, I'm quoting you history, and history is amazing to me. Go ahead, man.
And Vaughn, think about this, Vaughn. Is the amount of that is Trump's base, the America's First nationalist base. It's about 35 to 40%, right? You know, of the people that are solidly America First, are solidly American nationalists, right? That's enough that if that match is struck, that 40% is going to come out, and there you go. You know?
Game on.
It cuts across everybody because you're now seeing the fact that blacks are coming over to Trump, and Hispanics are coming over to Trump, and Asians are coming over to Trump, are coming over to not Trump himself, but the movement, the America First nationalist movement, right? They're all coming over. It's cutting across all demographics, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's scary to them, that the more people that come over, the more people that come into the movement, not. Or they may not be all for Trump, but they're coming to the movement, right? The nationalist America First movement. That's what's scary.
That's right. It is, because they're trying to dissuade you. It's so obvious to me. They're trying. See, on my show, that we use some theatrics. We use some. I use a little bit of everything to goad people and motivate people to get them to think. We use music, great calls, promos, monologue. We have a mix of everything. And by the way, welcome Lucid Libertarian to the chat room. And all the regulars, love you. It's true that Lincoln said we are currently at war. The white race is actively being replaced in all of our lands. It's very, very true. And it's very obvious. This isn't conspiracy theory. It's just obvious. I mean, go back just 10 years and look at how the nation's looked. You can't tell me there isn't an overt agenda. And see, they don't like it when I'm great at, I take what they do and then I broadcast it all over. I put on a big billboard, the big Hollywood light, and I light it up like a big fire crescendo. That's what I'm good at. And they hate that. How dare you bring up our nefarious agenda? How dare you bring these things up? Why, and people, these idiots will say, source? Well, my source is look around you. Pretty obvious, and EMP, you're coming up on a lot of things, man. Go ahead.
Right, and here you talked about replacement, the great replacement theory. It's not just the whites in the working class that they're trying to replace. They're trying to, because so many of the blacks are, of our black brethren are coming over, they're leaving the Democrat plantation. They're leaving that plant, the liberal plantation. And that's what scares them, because they've, for almost time in memoriam, they've had 90%+ of the black vote, right? And it's like,
right.
It's been said if they lose 20% of that black vote, they're done. The Democrats are done. The liberals
unless they
are
cheat.
Done.
I know.
You can ask yourself,
I know what
how
you mean.
How did this white man, this mashed potato brain Biden, who's obviously a racist, right? How did he get more black votes than the first so-called black president in Obama?
Oh, this is, it's, yeah. I mean, look, it's, we all know that last election was a sham. And it was a total shit. It was all doctored, man. I mean, and now you have to be careful about saying that in America, or you could end up like, you know, Owen Schroyer of InfoWars and have all the feds on your ass. So I would just say there were inconsistencies that were widely reported out there, and we'll leave it at that.
Love you. Or you could end up like what's the name, Corey, of the Proud Boys that is spending,
yeah.
What, 20 years? 20
well,
years
they're trying to outlaw free speech, aren't they? They're trying to outlaw free speech. This is the last free speech forum in America. EMP, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you next week. You know it. Great, great call from our friend there in Louisiana, EMP. Great, great stuff. Look. This thing about Trump and the black base, whatever you want to call it, blacks for Trump. Look, any politician wants people to come over to their side. I don't care if you're purple, green, black, red, blue, red, white, and blue, whatever the case is. Yeah, I totally get it. But if you're relying, as Trump did, which is, first of all, I would send Trump back to remedial math class. If you're relying on the blacks to put you over the edge and to put you over all the Democrat cheating in order to save Trump as a political fantasy, when they're only 12, 13% of the population, really 12, and you're relying on that to, when historically they've always voted 95% Democrat, and you're relying on these blacks for Trump people who are really on the fringe and still are of the black community. God love them. I hope all of them come over and vote for Trump or the next, you know, good nationalist candidate. But my point is, don't rely on them, because they did not push Trump to the finish line. His math failed. His calculus failed. And he was all the last year or two. He was touting the, oh, it's so wonderful, blacks for Trump. Had them all in the White House. I was there watching, cringing, going, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to kill your campaign. What are you doing? I don't mind it a little bit. I'm a reasonable guy. Look, we're a big country. We're the most generous country in the world when it comes to bringing people in, unfortunately. But that's just the way we I really mean that, unfortunately. Not. I don't want every third world person living here or having relatives here. I don't. I really don't. I think we have way more than any other country. We're the Babylonian whore and getting worse. And the thing is if blacks for Trump were so powerful, they would have put him over the edge. They didn't, and I rest my case. We knew the Democrats always cheat, or they were going to cheat again. And they are Democrat by a default. They don't even vote much even when they're Democrats. So why are you relying on them or brown people or people of color to give you the mantle of victory? This is really crazy. It's negative math. It's negative arithmetic, negative calculus. Trump should not have dissed his base. Whether you like it or not, his base in 2016 were white working class men from the Midwest and the Rocky Mountain states and the South of America. They weren't the East Coast socialites. They weren't the faggotry of San Francisco. Sorry, guys. They weren't the degenerate weirdos up in Seattle. And they weren't the black population. It was the whites who came out who voted for Trump, who put him over the edge. Now, they weren't expecting that. And they came out in droves to support him. And that is your successful playbook. Do not deviate from the successful playbook. Of course, you're president for any and all people. I get it, man. I get it. We're in the same room. We're smoking the cigars. I would tell Trump, by all means, yeah, ingratiate yourself to this group and that group. I get it. You have to be the president of all the people, yada, yada, BS, right? But my point is, don't diss your base. And don't spend all your time talking to people who historically hate you and who historically have never voted Republican. That is where the freight train went off the rails. With that, I want to get to the gunslinger in Texas. Gunslinger knows what's going on, and he talks. And when he talks, people listen to the gunslinger. Welcome to the show, sir. I'm glad you're here. How are you?
I'm locked and loaded, as you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Because
bring it on, bring it on.
Eventually, you're going to have that thing called Dr. Love Lead. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming. It's coming.
Love that.
Whether it's going to be in the form of a civil war or the crime in this country will just completely explode exponentially. And it's doing that right now. Did you see that clip from that convenience gas station in Philadelphia? That dude is armed. He's just a security guard, and he's armed like a damn soldier. 100-round rifle clip, 2 semi-automatic handguns. Okay, now that's pretty bad when you have to have that kind of armament for a security guard, for God's sakes. Okay, you're not talking about a cop either. You're talking about a security guard. Okay, and when you let these third world mongrels over here to slither across the border, that's got to stop. And Dr. Lovelead should be a part of it. It only take a few of them. Only take a few of them.
I agree.
The rest of them will run like chickens with their head cut off.
They will.
Hopefully back to Mexico. Remember what the founding fathers, when they set this country up. You've seen pictures of it. You know where I'm going. You've seen pictures of them signing the Declaration of Independence and all that. You tell me, did you see one black person? Did you see a Mexican? Did you see an Oriental? Did you see a Jap in that picture signing the document?
No,
you didn't.
Hell no.
No, you didn't.
It was all white men, those evil white men of privilege. Evil. And I'm one of them. evil European white men start this country, and I'm damn proud of it. And I will not renounce them on my show. We admire them, love them, and wish them well in the afterlife. Go ahead, sir.
And remember what they said. We create this country for our posterity. Didn't say for the blacks. It didn't say for the Mexicans.
That's right.
Didn't say for the Canadians. It didn't say for the Africans. It didn't say for, you know, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Chinkies, and everybody else on this fucking rock. It was for our posterity, the white man. Okay?
That's pretty simple.
I mean, you can go and review the documents there. It's right there in front of, it's right there as
Whitey did it. Whitey, right? They call us Whitey. Yeah, the Whiteys did it, man. It's right. I go, yeah, that's right. And guess
right.
What?
Yeah,
I'll tell them, you're on a fucking guest pass. How about those apples?
Damn right.
Well, you're calling me a second class citizen. Well, partially you are.
You are.
Yes, you are.
You are.
Just like Rome, you are. That is the truth.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That is the truth.
If you ran across our border and you just came over and you're listening, you are a second or third class citizen. Yes, you are.
That's right.
You're not a citizen.
You have no right.
And Rome had the same policy, ancient Rome.
You have no fucking rights when you come into this country illegally. Sorry, you don't. I will treat you like garbage because you have no right. I am American born in this fucking country, in the state, the great state of Texas. Okay? Southern bred and Southern born, you're goddamn right. And I will be damned if I will lower myself to these mongrels, these scumbags. Like I said, they're not sending people over here that are engineers like I am. I'm a retired engineer, master electrician, scientists, scholars, artists, tradespeople, for God's sakes, okay? They're sending their scumbags, their shithole scumbags of their country over here. We ought to take that Statue of Liberty and stick it up French's ass. We didn't want that son of a bitch over here to throw out of
it. The worst thing France ever did was since the damn Statue of Liberty, and that Jew lady had to go put that frickin' inscription on it, which, by the way, is not law. This is all concocted. America was not supposed to be the land of huddled masses. Do we need more poor, huddled masses? Really? We need millions more in this country. Nobody can convince me that we do. And by the way, they always say, I came to America to work, to make America a great place, to make America wonderful. Oh, great. Now we get your gratitude. My thing is, why don't you stay in your country and make it a great place? And if immigration is so great, then why don't you stay in your country and make it wonderful?
Right.
See? They don't want to go there. Only when they come over here, we're supposed to honor them and kiss their ass, bottom line. And I won't do it.
Remember at the time when they shipped the Statue of Liberty over here, the real truth of it, the American people at the time didn't want that damn thing. Okay?
That's right.
They said, well, put it on an island out there. Go out there and make it an island, which that where it is, it's surrounded by water. So it's an
That's
island.
Right. We don't want it in the city. Put it out
we
there
don't want
in the bay.
It in,
That's right.
And there, that's right. And there was plenty of room in the city. I mean, that place was almost empty at the time. Okay, so there was there was all kinds of room to put that Statue of Liberty, but they said put it out there in the thing because the American people didn't want it on the shores of America. What is that? What does
that's
that tell
right.
you? That'll tell you something.
That's right.
Okay.
And there was a movement to blow it up. There was a movement to destroy it and blow it up for fun. That would have been me.
That's
let's
right.
erect it. Now let's have a target practice. Thanks a lot, Frank.
Target practice. Yep.
Yeah. Send it back
at
to
least,
him, shrapnel.
At least the bottom line with Trump now, he did start that wall, okay? You're not going to keep the sorry bastard from coming across. They can climb it, sure. They can tunnel under it, sure. But at least you're going to slow them down in order for the Border Patrol to get them. Go get them, boys. Go get them. We have ground-penetrating radar that can detect, you know, underground tunnels, you know, no problem. I mean, pick them off. If they try to come over that wall, pick them off. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get some practice ship. Mm-hmm. Get some target practice in there, Border Patrol. I don't care. I really don't. Because they're not sending good people over here. Trump even said it. These people are not good people. And then they come over here and shit their fucking babies out, and they're automatically a fucking American citizen. Fuck you. I was born here.
That's right.
I was raised here. Them motherfuckers were not. Get the fuck out of my country. That's what it boils down to.
I've said this once. I'll say it before. If this country ever implodes, you can mark my words that U.S. Constitution is going to be rewritten in very, very specific block terms where there will be no anchor babies and there will be no Supreme Court to overrule. And we will have the military on our border and there will be no federal judge. If a federal judge in America's future said, you can't put the military, he should be arrested. Right away.
In charge with treason.
You're going against the president and the will of the people. They would call him in the future. That would be a traitor. That would be a treasonous act. If you overtly try to go against the will of the people. See, we have a court system and a convoluted, quote-unquote, democracy. We're no longer a republic, which is what we were set up to be. We're so effed up that one lone dipshit liberal judge in Texas or San Francisco or wherever can make a ruling, and everybody just freezes like a cat.
Yep.
You know, like they just freeze. I'm going, we have a – there's no real line of authority in this country. And, yeah, I have no problem with the things the way they – see, we can argue. Absolutely, there can be debate. Absolutely, I love debate. And I actually let the best argument win. I know my arguments would win with the American people because I know I'm on their side. I know what they want. I know what we need. The problem is we have a government that doesn't want to do a damn thing. And they laugh at us. They're laughing.
That's right.
As I said in the monologue, they will never fix that border. Never fix it. Yeah. The Democrats want the votes very plainly, and the Republicans want the cheap labor. Bottom line. And the stupid cuck Republicans go, oh, but they're family-oriented. They have big families. They're religious. They're going to vote Republican. They're morons. These people came from heavy Democrat Marxist socialist governments. They've always had a foot up their ass to be blunt. They're used to that. They like that because they know they're going to get some crumbs out of it, okay? A check, a little bit of money, a little bit of EBT card. And they don't want to fend for themselves like their grandpa that may have come over here, like Juan Valdez, pick some berries and some fruit. But he will go back to Mexico with his money and take care of his family. Now we have the young guys ditching their families all over Central America, leaving four or five kids coming up here, not sending the dime back, making another crisis, and they want to come up here and start a new life on the American. Now they want to go, where do I sign up for benefits, gunslinger? They don't say, where's the nearest farm for me to pick lettuce? No, where do I sign up for benefits? The young kids come over with their Nike shoes. You ever see how they're dressed? Gucci T-shirts, Nike and Steve Madden shoes and Converse and new watches. Hell, they look better than most white kids in the suburbs. Who's buying them all that? They have cell phones, smokes, vapor. I mean, they're living large. They're laughing, grinning, going, we've been promised everything, and we're going to get it. We're going to get it. That's where America's at in 2023.
That's where it's going. It's going into the shithole. And if somebody doesn't get in there in 2024 like Trump or somebody like him that has the balls, and he does, you cannot deny that Donald J. Trump doesn't have balls because he does. Okay?
He does.
By kicking these son of bitches out, by building the wall, and saying, you're fucking fired. Yeah, he made a lot of mistakes. Sure, nobody's perfect. He listened to the wrong crowd. He listened to Dr. Quack, Dr. Fauci, calling Dr. Quack. Okay. So if one of these other demo rats get in here, we're fucked anyway. Because there will be a civil war in this country. I guarantee you, because look at everything. Look how, tell me it's not pointing toward a civil war, okay? It's just like this sound right here. Lock and load.
I heard that.
That's where it's going.
Lock and load,
that's
baby.
Going.
That's right.
You bam right. Have a nice night. Keep your powder dry.
Gunslinger, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. Great, great call by the gunslinger. Wow, we'll get Lincoln on next. I see where he's calling in. Amazing stuff tonight. Well, I have the best callers in the biz. I think you all know that already.
If I was the deep state and I wanted to destroy America, I would rig the election with a puppet candidate. one that was so compromised that they would never say a word about it. I would create a false flag that allows for mail-in ballots. I would be in charge of the ballot counting machines. I would create a false flag to blame all who question the results of the election. If I was the deep state, I would prosecute anyone that went against me. I would sue and prosecute anyone that spoke up about the fraudulent election. I would use my powers to shut down all your internet businesses and bankrupt you. If I was the deep state, I would make everyone an example why you should never question a Democrat ever winning an election. I would imprison my foes. I would use my corrupt DAs and blackmailed judges to destroy you. I would make sure all crimes I ever committed never happened. I would prosecute my biggest competition. I would make sure they could never run for office ever again. If I was the deep state, I would convince everyone that Ukraine Nazis were good and women are men. If I was the deep state, I would own every politician that mattered. If I was the deep state, I would push my pedophilia ambitions on you. If I was the deep state, you'd question your sexual identity but not the medical establishment. If I was the deep state, you would fear to ever resist me. If I was the deep state, you would wish I was really the devil. If I was the deep state, I would say mission accomplished.
Well, let's get to the Lucid Libertarian on the show tonight. Welcome to the Von Wehen Show, Lucid. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, hello. It's my first time calling in. Thank you for the nice welcome. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show. And, you know, if you call back next week as a second-time new caller, we'll put you first in line.
Set me the link to your... Sorry about that. Sorry, my earbuds.
I'm sure they sent
you
the link.
Hang on.
Okay.
Yeah, they sent me the link to your show, and I was like, okay, if you guys are tuning in, I'll tune in. And so here I am.
Who sent you the link?
So hello.
How's it going?
Who
sent you the link to the show?
We have like a group chat going on with Ron Reck and Gunslinger and
oh, cool.
Mike and several others. Yeah. Yeah.
Good, good.
So I'm kind of new.
Yeah,
on
from the Ron Reck show. He's got a good show on Blog Talk as well. Very animated guy. Very,
yeah, he's
very,
a funny
very,
guy.
Very knowledgeable. He is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He and I both share a favorite word. Fuck.
Love it. Absolutely. Fuck this and fuck that, right?
exactly. Fucking A. I put a
you
link
know?
Into, because I'm here in Oregon. I'm in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
And in the chat I put
I know,
in earlier in the conversation. Yeah, Salem. I got the hell out of Portland 8 years ago. Thank God.
Salem's a lot calmer. I've been up there before. Yeah, it's beautiful up there.
Yeah, it is. It, you know, but yet, you know, we're getting the sprawl. I mean, everybody's so priced out of Portland right now. Somebody, you know, if you want to go grocery shopping, you got to move out of Portland because, of course, they, you know, closed the Walmart stores, several other businesses and fast food places, all kinds of stuff are closing up shop and getting the hell out of Portland.
Do you blame them?
And for good reason. I mean,
right.
I can't, no. You know, Ted Wheeler is trying to backtrack now. You know, he's the one, you know, he's the mayor of Portland who was like, you know, oh, yeah, it's the summer of love 2020. It's all peaceful. Let me protest with BLM and Antifa outside the federal courthouse where they're throwing Molotov cocktails at them and stuff. And let me, you know, stand by them. You know, that's the same Ted Wheeler.
Right.
Ridiculous. And that's why Trump had to federalize like law enforcement and sheriffs and shit to try to protect that federal courthouse. And, of course, Ted Wheeler and our dictator, Kate Brown, was all, like, freaking out about that. And even I was. I'm like, there is no reason why Trump should have to do this. But he didn't have a choice, you know. If he's going to protect federal fucking property and the governor and the fucking mayor ain't going to do it, you know, then what choice did Trump have? You know, so, you know, but my position was like, this shouldn't even be needed. But that's just the way it was, you know. And so this latest story that I put a link to into the chat room earlier was like, this is an example of the fucking insanity of Portland right now. This woman took her infant baby, flipped it so that, you know, its head is face down and its legs are up on her arm, waterboarded her own fucking baby, put it in the freezer. And thankfully, she lived in an apartment, and apparently a neighbor or something called the cops. And you know how much time she got? 30 days in jail. That's how much she got for waterboarding her own fucking baby and putting it in the freezer. Thank God the kid lived. She got 30 days in jail. That's fucking
That's attempted murder. That's demonic. And she's basically a baby killer.
Child endangerment.
That's how I look at it.
Attempted homicide.
Oh, attempted murder of her own child. Yeah. I would take the baby away from her immediately if I was a court of law. She would never see the baby again. See, we have mothers in America that, look, they have babies. Like my mom used to say, look, once the baby comes, baby, she'd tell my sister, it's over. Game over. You better, you know, pony up and take care of it. Do your fucking job, okay? Yeah, maybe you want to party with your friends, blah, blah. That's over. Now you're going to hang around with the young mothers, make some new friends, do some different things, okay? But killing your offspring is, that's satanic. That is, that's devil worshiping there, 101.
Yeah, and apparently she did it out of spite. She was pissed off at the father.
Doesn't matter.
She was pissed off at
doesn't
the
matter.
Father of the kid.
Don't always
like,
come with some lame
oh,
excuse.
You don't care about your kid. You don't even care about it. And that's why she did it, to try to, like, get him to show that he cared about his baby. That's why she apparently
crazy. That's transferring your responsibility to somebody else.
Can you imagine?
Oh, I told the book at her if I was
a
judge.
And then, but you're under the, but even as a judge, you're powerless because you're under the control
they wanna know,
of the governor.
They
want to
know in
the
chat room what race was she? I'm not going to assume anything.
She's a like a mixed black, I think.
Oh, okay.
From the looks of it. Yeah.
A mixed race.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
on the street they call it a she-boon, right?
She looks mixed race. She looks lighter skin
she-boon.
To be fully black. You know what I mean?
There you go. There you go. What
you know,
the
like
Gunther calls a savage Negro
today,
beast.
Like,
you know,
what in
it's
the
in
hell?
Them. It, well, look, it's look. I said this before. Gunther calls them the savage Negro beast. There is something about them that it's baked into their DNA. It's baked in. This is why you can go back in history. Africa, they should have never been taken out of Africa because Africa was called the dark continent, not because of the color of their skin, so that was one reason. It was because it was dark there. It was a dark, demonic, nasty place that only really travelers or hunters went there risking their lives to hunt big game and stuff like that. Literally, because they were known as headhunters, okay? Dumb, naive white people would go over
there
and go, I want
to
hunt water buffalo.
You know,
and their head would be on a pike. Their head would be on a pike, literally. I want to hunt rhino with your with the tribe. How stupid. They go, great, we're going to eat you for dinner. We're so hungry. See? And so my thing is, this has happened through, and it's just true. It's happened through millennia. And when we brought them out of Africa, the dark continent, which, by the way, ships used to avoid Africa like the plague because they had African pirates back then. Our own Navy fired on them in the Mediterranean in right after the Revolutionary War. Many of our merchant marines had sea battles with African mercenaries, African pirates. Yeah, we sunk their ships at sea. Okay, so they were always known as a weird, warfaring, dark continent kind of a place, you know? And it's true. The Romans, as Lincoln said, did call Africa the land of the burnt faces. That's true. It's, everyone avoided it. The only thing that the Romans wanted was Egypt because it was cool, the pyramids, and they had and they were wealthy. That's where all the money was. They wanted Cleopatra and her armies to fight for them. But the rest of that place, nobody gave a rat's ass about it, to be honest.
Well, I think, Africa is pretty similar to just about anywhere, very coastal, you know. Anywhere you look, no matter where you're at, anywhere where you have mostly coastline around your country, you're going to have people there. You know what I mean? That's an ideal place. Africa is hugely, you know, water, you know, surrounded by water for trade
right.
and everything. And Egypt being right there by the Middle East, just cross over the sea and you can get into Europe. I mean, Egypt
sure.
is very yeah. ideal, plus the Nile River. So, again, a big, huge water source with the Nile
and
River.
And on the Mediterranean.
Was
the
biggest
on the Mediterranean,
there.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. But, you
I've
know,
always said
nobody
if you could,
fucking wanted
if you could
to go
unearth...
inland and be in the middle of the damn desert with no water, you know. That's
right.
still the case today.
Well, yeah. And don't
Most
forget the
Africa
African slaves sold their own people. Yeah, and the African slaves were sold by their own chiefs to the Jewish slave traders. That's a fact.
Exactly.
And if
exactly.
you could unearth, I always said, if you could drag
they
the Mediterranean.
Would capture the slaves, sell them off to
oh,
the English.
Constantly.
Well, now
absolutely.
We can get rid of them.
Constantly.
Now we don't have to feed them.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And
I mean,
half of them
there's
die
something
on
about
the way over
those
to the
people.
Americas anyway.
Look, the ones that are over here are kind of Americanized, but it's still true that out of 12% of the population, they commit the majority of crimes. Now, no one can say, oh, that's their environment. No. We had poor people in the 1930s. They didn't go out and kill everybody or maim everybody. It's not about always about the economics. It's about how they're raised. It's their DNA. It's their family history. There's a lot of things that go into it. But it's amazing. History is amazing. What else is on your mind tonight, Lucy?
Well, one of the big things that I'm going to talk about on my show on Sunday is the current case of Measure 114. If you're not familiar with it here in Oregon, it is geared up to be probably one of the most strict gun control laws in the country. It passed by stupid voters, but barely. For the last 9 months,
tell
it's been on hold by one very awesome county judge in eastern Oregon, Harney County. And so the hearing has been resumed now after 9 months waiting. So I've been paying attention to that trial this week to see if this judge is going to allow parts of or the whole thing be implemented. And Measure 114, it is horrible. It will require a permit to purchase a firearm. In order to get a permit to purchase a firearm, you have to take a safety course, including range time. And, of course, there's costs involved in that. Just to get the permit, you can be delayed up to 90 days to be approved for your permit to purchase. And then by the time you actually get your approval and you go to buy a gun, now you got to pay for another background check and wait for possibly another 90 days before you can even be approved for the purchase. And this is to close the quote-unquote, Charleston loophole. They call it a loophole, but it's not a loophole at all. It was intentional to put the responsibility on the government to go, you know, okay, if you're going to require a background check, then you got 3 days. You got a time limit to do the background check and give me your approval or denial. And if you fail to do so, then the seller can proceed with the gun sale. And so it's not a loophole. That's the fucking psyops that people want to think is the Charleston loophole. Like, no, it's not a loophole. That's intentional. That's putting the responsibility on the government. If they're going to implement that shit, the responsibility is on them to get back a result, denial or approval, one way or the other. When they fail to do so, the sale can proceed. So that's the other part of it. It's also going to limit magazine rounds or, you know, firearms capable of anything more than 10 rounds. And here's the even kicker part. The magazine cannot be modified to fit more rounds. Damn near impossible. You know, you take the, you know, you got people take the base plate off and, you know, to clean it and whatever. And so that automatically makes pretty much any magazine illegal by this measure, because almost all of them can be taken apart and modified to fit more rounds. Or also firearms that can take, you know, different types of rounds, you know, so you can fit, you know, more smaller rounds, you know, in a different magazine, you know, than you can the larger rounds, that kind of shit. So it's going to, it'll effectively end gun sales in Oregon until all of the teams can comply, including these, there are not enough gun ranges because of all the gun control and because of, you know, the scamdemic, there's just not enough gun ranges to provide the demand that will be required to get this permit to purchase as part of the requirement, as part of the training. There's just not enough. We don't have enough of them to be able to do this.
Gotcha.
And so, like, there are so many problems with this legislation, it's not even funny. I mean, the writing of it is horrible. And so, I think it's not getting enough attention. It really should be getting a lot more attention around this country, because if this is allowed to go through, a federal judge, district federal judge, already rubber stamped it as being constitutional for our United States Constitution, Second Amendment, ruled it that way. But this tiny county judge, he's like, I don't give a fuck about the U.S. Constitution. I am an Oregon County judge. I only care about our Oregon Constitution and if it violates our Oregon Constitution. So don't give me your arguments and federal cases and federal precedences and stuff like that. It's irrelevant because I'm only focused here on Oregon. And so I love that approach.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Well, what prop number is that again?
Yeah,
in Oregon, we'll kind of follow it.
Before I forget, another part of this measure also creates a database, a publicly searchable database of everybody that gets a permit to purchase firearms. Public. Database just for firearm dealers to look up.
No, they want the neighbors to harass you. That's what that's designed for.
Mm-hmm.
They want the neighborhood outreach committee in the community to say, knock on your door and go,
they
we're going to notice
you
own two guns in your house.
Just because you want to buy a gun.
Right. That endangers our children. How dare you buy a couple of guns and go to the shooting range in Oregon? See, Oregon, I love going up there. I go up there every summer. I was just up there about a month ago. Okay. But when I go, I've been to Salem before, drop dead gorgeous, right? But you are being encroached on by pulling icy out of the Willamette Valley. And you know what that is. Before our folks in Radio Land, the Willamette Valley is Portland, Salem, and Eugene. Okay? I go to the Oregon coast where people are sane. And I cool off from the Arizona summers. And I'll hang out there in the northern part of California for about a few weeks. Okay? But I've been to your area before, and beautiful, nice people. But there's a lot of pinheads there that want that public database. See, they want to harass their neighbors. That's what they want, and Antifa wants to know who has the guns, who's the right winger with the guns in the neighborhood. They want to know. Well, if they know, then your house could be targeted. See. They know which houses that make the target list. I'm telling you, that's what it is. It's a little sly move, and they'll couch it, well, the community needs to know, and our children are in danger. See, that's how they always preface those remarks. Really, it's a tool by Antifa and others to know who has the guns. If things go south, which house do we attack? Which house do we surround? Which homeowner do we kill or maim or at least attack? So,
well, you
I'm
know,
being blunt,
I gotta tell you, they don't want to come around my little neighborhood here in Salem. I know my neighbors.
Good.
They know me. I know
Good.
The neighbors around my block. I know who's armed. They know I'm armed.
Mm-hmm.
I know who's armed. They're not going to make it very far up this fucking street. You know, we had that threat when
Antifa
was threatening to come into their residential neighborhoods.
They were. I remember
even
that.
Even here in Salem. Yeah,
they were
threatening to come in, like, you know, me and my neighbors, we got together. We're like, who's armed? Who's not? Okay, let's have a plan. The shit starts coming up our fucking
Game
street.
On.
Lock and load. We'll defend each other.
That's right.
You know?
Game on, baby. That's the way it happens.
It's
it can happen that fast.
I'm not daring you.
I know,
I'm warning
good...
you, Antifa. Don't
mm-hmm.
fucking come around here. You know?
Right. I also know a lot of Oregon people, name is unknown, and I won't disclose their locations, who are armed to the teeth. They haven't told anybody. So people up there are armed. They haven't done a permit or nothing. They just have the arms and the ammunition. They're up there. They're
oh,
up there.
Shit. Do you
More
realize,
in the eastern
like,
part,
when,
but they're up there.
When,
oh, yeah.
Right when Measure 114 passed,
mm-hmm.
when 114 passed last November, and it was supposed to take effect, I believe, in January.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been held up. Our gun stores were like bare. They could not bring in firearms
that.
And ammo fast enough.
I remember
I mean,
that. Yeah, it's
like,
true.
And this is the beauty of it. These gun control fucking freaks aren't realizing the stupidity of their move. They have armed us more than ever. You know, not just in
right.
Oregon, but everywhere. The more
they're
they,
good
the
gun
more
sales,
they
aren't
push
they?
This shit and pass this shit,
mm-hmm.
the more everybody floods to the gun store. They buy out every fucking gun and every round of ammo they possibly can. You know, they buy out the stores every time. So now, you know, they can only estimate how many firearms people have. But I will bet you whatever the government estimates. As far as how many firearms there are out there, you can double that
yeah.
shit.
I agree.
Double that shit.
I agree. Because that made national news with Oregon. See, there's a lot of nationalists. I've always told people up in Oregon, a lot of right-wing people, a lot of gun-toting people. It's not all Antifa. That's all make-believe in the press. There's a lot. We have a lot of friends and a lot of allies up there and a lot of good friends. Same thing in Northern California. They'd have you believe everyone's a berry picker, hippie. No. A lot of people with arms up there as well, a lot of rifles, a lot of ammunition, a lot of nationalists, a lot of people that know what's going on. They just love that area of the country. I don't blame them. It's a beautiful part of the country. It's drop-dead gorgeous. It is. It's the Pacific Northwest, I love it.
And that's why
I always said if I was going to move.
I think that's a lot of why people
right.
don't, you know, a lot of us want to flee. Like you're saying, but a lot of us, we love
Oregon.
You
need to stay.
It is beautiful
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's a beautiful state. Oh, I love it. No, I like Oregon a lot.
We can grow fucking
I like California.
Here.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. No, it's got everything going for it. There's no perfect place in the country. The only thing that part, and again, you guys have got to stay because you are like the thin nationalist line. And libertarian line. But my thing is, there's not as many of those radicals as the media likes to portray. Because when I go up there, and I've been up and down that Oregon coast, and I tell people, I swear to God, I've never once seen an Antifa flag or a bumper sticker or met anybody at a coffee shop that's talking Antifa crap up there at all. All the people that I've met are like us on this show, super cool, patriotic, nationalist in bent, or right wing, right of center. A lot of nice people. I've never met a now you do see the hippies wearing the tie dyes here and there, but I don't care about that. That to me is harmless. They want to go off in the forest,
I mean,
in the redwoods and smoke
a
doob. I don't care.
Oregon's been a bunch of stoners for a very long time.
Yeah, I don't
time.
Care about that.
You know, if there's one thing Oregonians know how to do is grow really good pot. You know,
that's right. That's right. Now I'm glad. See, I see this perfectly. Now my next question for you, Lucid, is from the chat room here. Do you support the classic libertarian quote of "I just want gay people to be able to guard their pot plants with their AR-15s" that Don Trump Jr. said, and then he posted?
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
Bring it on, man. You know what? I want to see a huge Second Amendment rally with the fucking LGBTQ. Fucking bedazzle your AR-15s all you want and march down fucking downtown open carrying your shit. I am all for it. I am all for it.
Love it. Love
and you know what? They're
sure.
out there. They're out there. They're LGBTQ plus ABZQ that are Second Amendment supporters, but they're like in hiding, you know, because it's like taboo,
right.
You know.
Right.
Oh, you support
right.
the Second Amendment? You know.
Oh, you're one of those.
Then you're not really a part of the community
so
anymore.
Right. See, it's all part of our community, and it takes a village to raise a child. That's how they talk, like a liberal. And they all talk with a nasal problem.
Well, they
how
put on
the
their strap-on dildos and
children.
Wave it right in front of the four-year-olds at the parades, you know?
Yeah, we're going to have a drag queen story hour with the children. Yeah, it's disgusting. That's how they talk. You know, hey, when's your show, and what are your final thoughts to America? Go.
My show is on Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
Sunday I have special guests that's, you know, updating on Measure 114. I'll be talking a lot about that. So thank you for letting me plug my show. And thank you for having
absolutely.
Me on. It was a great talk.
Anytime. Call back anytime. I might call your show one of these days too. It gives me a new show to listen to. I've seen you before advertised. And so thanks so much for calling the Von Wien Show, Lucid Libertarian, Sundays on Blog Talk Radio from 6 to 9, right? Right?
I am moving to 6 to 8. I can no longer afford
okay.
the gold plan. So I will be moving down
about,
to the two-hour plan. Yeah, this Sunday.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, so it'll
gotcha.
Be... 6 to 8 for the live show, but we'll still have the bonus hour, of course.
That's what we do, too. That's what we do. Lucid Libertarian, thanks so much. Have a great night. Call back anytime. Love it. Great, great call. Thanks so much.
You betcha.
Awesome. Awesome. In beautiful Oregon, she's up there. Yeah, Salem is my guy. Trees, green. You like the color green? Go to Salem. Beautiful. Oregon's a beautiful state. I love the Pacific Northwest. Washington is beautiful. But, yeah, in the big cities there, like Seattle, Portland, a lot of malcontents, a lot of liberal jagoffs, a lot of you got Antifa people who are nuts. They do crazy news stories like that baby thing. That's just terrible. Can you imagine having parents like that? I feel sorry for a lot of kids. You know, hate to say it, but if you're a kid, and if your parents are just nut job liberals, you got a long road to hoe. You really, really do. Because if you're like born with a good brain, a good heart, you got to work through all that parental crap and deprogram yourself literally to get sane. And just a terrible way to bring yourself up, you know, because your parents who are liberal Marxist Democrats, they're not going to be any help at all, you know. Well, let's hear this first. I'll be right back.
And now, here's a testimonial and long-distance dedication from the real Americans who make the country work every day. Well, I'm a rancher out here in Big Sky Country. We are sick and tired of the rhinos in the party and tired of our nation being invaded by the third world mongrel hordes and the damn crooks in Washington, D.C. trashing our U.S. Constitution. Damn it, I've worked this land all my life, and the only show I listen to for any kind of news, good talk, interesting callers, some great music, and even entertainment from time to time is the Vaughn Wee Hunt Show. But I'll say a big howdy from flyover country, and I'll keep listening to the show as I munch on my beef jerky. Hope you all have a good night. We'll talk some more later. Bye.
Love that. And now let's hear from Tony Montana.
This mixtape is produced by the mixtape producer, OGB.
Hey, Frank. You a piece of shit.
Tony, what are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about, you fucking cockroach.
What are you talking about? Come on, you listen to me, huh?
You know what a hussar is, Frank? That's a pig. They don't fly straight. Neither do you, Frank.
Hey, Tony, why the fuck would I hurt you?
I brought you in. So we had a few differences, huh? No big deal. I gave you a start. I was the one who believed in you.
I stay loyal to you. I made what I could out of sight, but I never turned you, Frank. Never.
You give me a second chance. I give you $10 million, Tony.
Okay. $10 million. I got it involved over there in Spain, Tony. We go over there. We get on a plane. And it's yours. Okay? All of it. $10 million. Okay, Tony?
Underworld, great audio, amazing stuff, man. I love it when Scarface looks up in the sky, sees that big blimp, it says, the world is yours. The world is yours. Love it. We'll get a cocktail. We're in our overtime segment tonight. And we'll be back in about a few minutes here. Don't forget, it's America in 2023 where accidents never happen, right?
In a perfect world, so I won't believe in love. like the Magi on the hill. I can divinate your presence from afar, and I'll follow you until I can bring you to a perfect world.
Never happened in a perfect world. Love that. Well, those of you who have emailed me and these telegrams and emails and everything else and deck, Gab, et cetera, we have a 2-hour live stream. Now we're in the hour of overtime. We normally go 30, 40 minutes over on standard. We'll get the Irish Pirate on here momentarily as well. He's in the green room getting ready to come on as our last caller tonight. If you're a new caller, you got to hang on the line. We'll get to you. A lot of you guys get nervous and you hang up, but we'll get you on the line. I guarantee it. We're good about that. If we see you, we'll try to break and get over to you. I know you're a little squeamish the first time you call. That's to be expected. Any kind of a radio show can be a little intimidating at first. I definitely get it. I used to call in the radio stations back in the day myself, just call in and talk to the host as a kid. I used to love to call in the talk radio and the FM stations too. And they knew me. I used to call in all the time. A lot of fun. Look, tonight, you know, the Eagle Pass, Texas situation, we covered a lot of topics as we normally do. As the theme tonight, Scout's motto, be prepared. We have illegal aliens that are cowards, and they are cowards. I'm not saying it's not a hard journey to get into America, but they're cowards that would rather sneak across the border, think about it, instead of making their own country better. They would rather ditch their families back home, and many are single-age males. You know, over there they get married early. They have sex early. They have babies early. I think the age of consent in Mexico is age 12. The women menstruate faster and earlier than American women, to be blunt. And they would rather mooch off our system that our forefathers created, those evil white European men. They fought and died for their creed, like the gunslinger perfectly said. They built this country for their posterity. This country was never built. They did not fight a war. They weren't liberal do-gooders who said, I'm going to fight the British, and I'm going to risk getting a musket ball in my brain because I want to help out the Chinese guy or I want to help out the Negro and his family, or the mixed race family, or the Bolivians, or the Chinese, or the Jews from Israel, whatever. I'm here to help out them. They never said that time and time again. They said, we are fighting for our families, our European roots, our great-great-grandkids of European descent, our posterity, in other words. What we see now in our country are the elites bringing in millions of mongrels from the third world. It's what they are. And these guys that sneak across the border, yeah, they could be, they might shank you. They might do things like that. Many are criminals. But I'll be honest with you, in the real scheme of things, none of them have a set of balls among them. I'll be blunt. None of them have a set of balls because they don't have the balls to stay in their country and make it better or stick it out, help out their family. They ditch their families time and time again. They said that Guatemala, half the men are gone in America. They had a big documentary about it. The women have 3, 4, 5 kids. Some are already pregnant. And the man, the breadwinner, has skipped town. That's how much they care about family. So all you Republican cucks go, oh, they care about family, and they have large families, and they're going to be family-oriented, and they're going to vote Republican. Bullshit. They ditch their families over there, you cuck morons. I'm a nationalist. I'm not you Republican guys, and I'm definitely not a Democrat Marxist. When they ditch their families, that's not family-oriented. Newsflash. How stupid can they be? But I hear this all the time. Senator Rubio, oh, they're coming over. Oh, it's wonderful. We think it's just great. Their family and their religious and blah, 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 blah. Bunch of bullshit. Okay. These people traveled all that way to line up for American taxpayer assistance. They are the same people who voted for socialist assistance in their own home countries until they crushed that country's economy and their own nation. We are looking at born slaves, right down to their bone marrow, their blood, their DNA. It's all they know. And they will share part of what we gave them with their local drug dealers as well. Slave sharing with their masters. They'll do any craven thing to get the next handout in their area or to the federal government, which is going to take care of them. Taking care of them means food, water, medicine, money from you. Unbelievable where we've come as a nation. And while all that's going on, here's a funny story for you. A naked man casually walks through the Dallas-Fort Worth airport just a few days ago, and they said he was smiling. I have the grainy picture. Thank God it was grainy of his back and, you know, not the front. On my Gab page, it was taken by a passerby at a restaurant. Yeah. And the cops went, keep on moving, folks. Nothing to see here. Unbelievable. Well, we talked last week really briefly about having a third political party in this country. I told you guys before, the reason why the nationalist movement has not gotten off the ground like it should, though it is now, and memes help and social media help immensely, it's all about messaging. When you're in politics, it's about your message, your approach to the population at large, things like that. Having someone clearly and cleanly articulate your position and ideology in front of the media in a concise, understandable format for all to hear and further understand. Standing on a corner highway or in front of Disney World yelling the N-word or saying kike this or kike that, I get it. I get the anger in people and the frustration. I really do. But if you're expecting a groundswell of support doing that, I'm just going to tell you, it's clearly not working. I get why people get frustrated. I'm not impugning anybody. It's not my role to judge. My role as a talk show host is to shed some light on politics and history and conjecture. And I'll just tell you that the nationalist movement doing this over and over again for decades is not moving the needle one inch, one iota, to getting really and truly more members, more sympathizers, more digital warriors on your side, even more meme makers of the right's great at doing the best at doing the memes. There's an old saying called win friends and influence people. I want to see a third party in America. I think we're in desperate need of one. I want to give the two political parties a run for their money and be the change you really want to be. If you want to help others get what they want, then you will normally get what you want. I am the messenger, and this show is the message. And we are directing people to new information and new thought processes. I've always been an independent operator. But if you're on the nationalist fringe and you think, and I get it, because there's gutter politics, there's mainstream politics, there's all kinds of different avenues. I'm just saying that if you want to be taken seriously, at some point, you've got to field candidates and you've got to get some donations, build what I would suggest is they build a nationalist headquarters somewhere safe, where you're not going to be attacked, like Beirut. You don't want to build it, for example, in downtown Memphis or downtown Little Rock. You want to be away from the fray, away hundreds of miles away. And I say build it out west, a nationalist front headquarters. That's what I would do, a place where you can meet and greet and get together. And kind of like the RNC and the DNC are in the Beltway, I'd say the nationalist headquarters should be somewhere out west in the Rocky Mountain states. You got to be building things. People have to see things being built. All this takes time, effort, and money. That's what I would do, this idea. And then I would start to coordinate your political activities. You can't just go on street corners and spout off and expect everyone. No wonder they're honking at you, flipping you off, whatever. You know, let's be honest, they're bringing kids to Disney World. They're not going there to hear a political dissertation, okay? They're going there to have fun and go on rides and eat cotton candy and see Mickey Mouse, blah, blah, blah. We all know Disney has problems. And that, that's a whole other rabbit hole. They have many problems with their movies and their ideology, which is leaked out. Hell, they've got men now as fairy godmothers in Disneyland and Disney World, from what I've seen and on the internet. Allegedly, of course, allegedly. When you see a fairy godmother with a beard come at you, watch out and run for the hills. But you get my idea. I mean, you look at the RNC and the DNC. They are very big on mess. Now, their message sucks, okay, but at least they try to put out a coherent message. And I'd like to see the nationalists do more of that. Look, they are out there doing things, and you need to march, and by all means, get your word out, get your name out. But at some point, they've got if they want to grow and not be a fringe movement for the next 30 more years, at some point they have to get serious and get a little more organized and get some funding too, get some money. Money makes the world go round. Okay, so with all that to think about and digest, and I did think about it on our last show. Me and Lincoln had a great chat about that stuff. I want to see the Nationalist Party rise from the ashes in this country. I want to see it do real, real well. Let's get Lincoln. I'm sorry, not Lincoln, but Irish Pirate on, who's been waiting for a while. And, Pirate, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, sir.
I'll see you're on the same cell phone.
Sure, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using the old one. The new one tonight is going to be relegated for when I decide to play chess later, because I don't have the old one doing that.
Yeah.
But I will be. Well, this one probably only has a week left to it, so it's only a matter of time. I'll transfer the pictures. I've already transferred all the contacts. And on my newer phones, I did do some trading today for the first time, which is why I switched phones. And I made good money. Of course, of course, big deal, Kelly made more, but, you know, that's how that works. She's
right.
A stud. I'm just a guy who tries not to make too many mistakes. But anyway,
yeah.
About what you were talking about, what keeps going in my mind, let's look politically. The first thing that bothers me is all the machines are rigged. I mean, if we think we're going to do something with money or politics or ideals, I mean, I can win all the damn debates, okay? These people don't have anything to say, and we'll get to that in a moment. But right now, even the way that we're looking for some honest dude to run all our elections, that is out of here. That is never going to happen. You have to literally say either no more machines, you know, period, or we want to have completely transparent everything. Even if it gets to the point where somebody's taking a leak in the back room of the election counting, we at least want to know that's what they're doing. Got to be really serious at this point, because we have so many rigged elections. I mean, all the way down to the dog catcher at this point. And we now know that people like George Soros are paying even for the dog catcher. That's what they want, and they have access to at least the printing press or second or third hand off the printing press. So that's going to be a big problem. You can invent a third party, but the third party will be laughed out of town if somebody else has printing presses and lots of, you know, internet hooked up to all over the around the world, you know, like, you know, China monitoring our elections and stuff. Not saying that we don't do the same thing, but you know, we got to start here, and you got to love where you are here, and you got to love the environment that was created by founding fathers, who, as Gunslinger so carefully mentioned, didn't exactly have the world in representation at the time, but they had the world of freedom in representation at the time. Anyway, so the next problem we have is the collective problems that we all face that could end up getting us killed by 2025. The number one, I think, is a nuclear bomb. And
yep.
The problem we have is it would be someone pulling the trigger on that
strike.
That has nothing to do with the fact. It has nothing to do with the fact that, I want to say this, arms are still for sale to the lowest bidder. I mean, we're sending stuff over to Ukraine and nobody knows where it goes. We were out in Afghanistan and nobody knew what we left behind. We just kind of added up the total. Very recently, we lost an F-35. I mean,
right.
I'd love to get a 5% finder's fee for an $80 million aircraft.
What do you think brought down that F-35, Irish? What do you think brought it down?
Who? I'll do the humorous answer first, and then I'll tell you what I really think. They found the F-35 exactly where the pilot ejected, which is impossible. That's the stupidest answer I've heard all week, is that a pilot ejects from a plane, and just like if you remember from the 9/11 planes, something supposedly crashed in Pennsylvania. We never found any debris. We never found any scorched earth. And same thing here. If it went down, it must have gone down vertical, because it sure didn't crash.
And
of course, F-35s don't do it vertical. So now we have the problem of what happened to the plane. And the answer is, Owen Schroyer actually said this. And, you know, God bless the man. He's the only one I'm ever going to know didn't do anything political to get busted, right? I mean, luckily, as Lexis Anderson defending him, hopefully something will happen.
Right.
She sounds like a dynamite, although how old is she, 15? But anyway, wow.
Yeah,
if a 15-year-old could save me, I'd say more power to it. But long story short, Owen Schroyer said it correctly when he mentioned all these strange and amazing things. He said, you know what? These planes have Chinese parts in them, and I know what that means.
They do.
Because I drive a Nissan. I drive a Nissan, and it was this week I learned that Nissan steals so much information about you. And so every time you visit the dealer, they download all the information out of the computer that they can get on you. And I don't know who they sell it to, but they've now admitted it. And so, yeah, even your cars are spying on you. Especially if it's a Nissan.
And they're also wired.
They're
also bugged. You know, they're also bugged. When you talk to yourself or talk to your friends or loved ones, they're recording that from what I've heard. The little smell, no one can confirm it, but I've talked to two auto guys and say it's bugged for sound, baby.
Come on. We've already looked at their website. It's confirmed. They're telling you what they're trying to steal. They're telling you what they want to find for you driving their car. Number one, they want to know if you're having sex in the car. That's one of their top priorities. Well, I got an answer.
Right.
You don't need to ask the car. Number two, they want to know if you're intelligent. I don't know why, but they're interested in such things. Number three, they want to know, this is bizarre, they want to know if you're a chess player.
Yeah.
It's like, oops, I think I gave that one away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, there's just so much stuff they want to know about you. And it's all in the car. And like I said, and I don't know if you know this about Nissans, but I've been getting a message every month. We have a very serious recall that started in 2023.
Yes. All the time with Nissan.
Well, except for one thing, the hood recall they're talking about came out in 2021, but they were silent for 2 years.
Right.
So we all know what happened there. Suddenly, there was some sort of a grant or something to hurry up and get those cars fixed. Now suddenly there's money in it, and they want everybody to come over and download their cars. I might do it anyway because I really wouldn't want my hood to fly up into my face while I'm driving. They kind of have me there by the hook. If you'll pardon the pun.
Screw with their cars.
And,
just kidding.
And, well, I miss my old service managers and people I all knew when I first bought the car. Everybody down there right now is just losers to me. I'm hoping that somebody will change my mind one day. But they seem to be cycling those people like we're playing some sort of, I don't know, lottery to get people in there. Today at Nissan, if you – anyway. Of the – top 10 things probably that are probably going to kill us by 2025. Nuclear war for sure. And then the second would definitely be the climate engineering that's going on. These people are not stopping. Hurricanes are all over the place. Now if you have a hurricane that starts in the Mediterranean, they're calling it a Medicane because it needs to be trendy. And therefore you have the problem of you could stockpile a bunch of food and guns and have a nice place. And you're going to be asphyxiated because if you've done nothing to try and preserve your environment, and I don't mean climate change. That's a joke. We've seen it. I've got the book from, how the Vietnam fighters that were out there could not trust or stand John Kerry. It's called Unfit for Command. And so we don't need to listen to people like that ranting about it's all your fault. And we have a couple of scientists. It's like, no. I'll give you a hint. There's a difference between the losers that follow models and the real scientists that follow evidence. I learned that today. I love that line. So you guys take your model and stuff it in some trash bin where you got it out of because it doesn't fly. This whole idea that a couple of scientists said that we're going to be too much carbon dioxide, and then you're turning around asking Bill Gates to bury trees. The number one consumer of carbon dioxide. They're burying them and saying
he's a very evil man in my view. Bill Gates is very evil in my view.
There's a few more like him. Yeah, there's a few more like him though that they're doing stupid things like trying to burn the trees, right? I mean,
right.
Can you believe there's even
that's what
magazines
we wanted to do.
And newspapers out there right now? There's magazines and newspapers out there right now that are honestly saying that we are in a lull in wildfires. That actual wildfires are on the decline, except for the entire northern hemisphere is burning. I don't think that happened before. So let's just say you're totally misinformed. But that's the problem, isn't it, Von Weehut? If you listen to the news, you're misinformed. If you don't listen to the news, you're uninformed. And your job is to be informed. Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Start with a show. Hopefully if you stay long enough for me, you'll get some. But more importantly, these are the types of things that could kill us by 2025, okay? And
I know.
One of the things that scares me the most about this country now is the outright lawlessness, right? Now, if you have a very, very strong
crime
law, but you have an out of control, if you have an out of control tyranny, one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to make up law and adhere to it very, very tightly. Okay. That if that's true, then you're going to see people faking crimes to get their police busted. And if nobody's following any laws, then everybody's just going to go out there and do stuff, not get busted, and nobody's going to want to do business or go outside or whatever. Hint, the latter is exactly what's happening. They're trying to increase the law on the people who don't need it, like Owen Schroyer, who's done absolutely nothing wrong.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
Sure,
he
in
public provoked a few opinions. If you've never seen Ben Owen Schroyer, then you can't appreciate him like I do.
He had the arrogance and the audacity. How dare you to go to D.C. and talk about these things? Remember with the bullhorn, InfoWars. And they said, we're going to make an example out of you. And they did. They did.
Well, I got to tell you, though, just look down the document if you got the time. You may not because it's you know, hundreds of pages. But there's not a damn thing in there about January 6th. It's all about speech. Of course, different words.
Yep.
It's a dialogue here. It's an argument there. It's all about speech. And then they turn around and, of course, said it's nothing to do with speech. These people lie right out their butts in public, and nothing happens.
Tyranny. They're tyrannical.
And in public. Yeah. It's amazing that they can just do that. They could do that right in front of you, and nothing's going to happen to them because, obviously, they own the entire press at this point. Right. I mean, I was a member of the Associated Press in 2001, and I left the Associated Press in 2001, and it's 2023, and people are starting to understand why I did that. I mean, this is really bad. And they were electing, you elected a so-called president, but he came in for vice president in 2001 and didn't become president until 2003. That's how that worked. And so they groom whoever you elect anyway. A lot different than the way we groom our presidents now. We do it before they even get elected. But once you elect them, then they tell them how to run as president. And that was one reason I didn't want to do anything with that, you know, shall we say, thought cabal. And it's unfortunate. Yeah. Trying to find independent media, Owen Schroyer is independent media. He was originally a sportscaster, just like me. Right? I mean, he just decided that he wanted to do something more serious with his life. Me... I've been kind of darting around this way, that way, and trying not to get the public spotlight because I knew I would end up like him. And in fact, when I actually sent a resume to InfoWars, the guy they hired instead of me was Owen Schroyer. And that could have just as easily been me. I don't like the thought. I really think that I could reach a lot more people if I wasn't imprisoned. Luckily, the only time I ever had people believing I was in prison is when I made one of those little questionnaires you give to your friends, and I made a multiple choice question saying which one of these did not happen to me. And the correct answer was I was never imprisoned. But everybody chose that and said the one thing that never happened to me is I was never in a plane crash. And so I started laughing. Going, everybody really honestly believes I already have been in prison already just because I'm outspoken and for real and I wear my heart on my sleeve, especially with my opinion. In play. But on the other hand, I'll just say this. I went into a chess class and six questions came out of some kids' mouths right away. I did not ask for these questions. They were all about the Bible. And I answered them. And they were in awe that I could just answer them right there. I love being able to say, this is what I believe, this is who I am, this is where I got the logic for it. That, you know, and you know that I've debated that before, and so I just asked them the same thing.
Yes.
These kids weren't stupid. They were third graders, and they're asking me questions like day-age theory, right? In other words, 6 days in the Bible, what's between them? And the answer is 24 hours. And everyone's like, is that for real?
Right.
I said, okay, sun on day three, plants on day three, sun on day four. You tell me how long that's supposed to be. You tell me as a third grader. Should that be a million years? I think the plants are going to die. And they're like, wow. It's like, yeah, that's what I believe. I mean, I could be wrong, but I have an answer. And I definitely read that. And I definitely challenge people who don't believe that is to please explain to me how that works. And it's the same way that I look at politics. It's the same way that I look at trading now, since and I'll be honest, I'm whispering into people's ears now. I can't make it with my regular job. Binomics is eating up my paycheck.
You know, it is.
Going like,
Binomics.
I started trading,
sucks, man.
Well, and the teachers are telling me I started trading too. You know, I have to do something
trading,
too. I'm making more than you, and
trading
I still have to
what? Trading stock?
Well, in one instance, I talked to somebody who's getting into buying up businesses and going long. I don't think that's the best way to go.
Oh, I see.
In other instances, I've seen somebody does all the trading for you, and you got to trust them. We'll see if that works or not. The way I look at it is everybody's cheating. And so every day at about 3 o'clock, everybody has to start. If you're not making the money you thought you were doing today, you got to fake it and put assets back in so you can beat the street by a penny. And if you're making lots of money, you got to suck those assets out so that nobody else gets them, and you're going to beat the street by a penny. Either way, right at the end of the day, they're cheating and they're going to bend the curve. And you can bet against the cheaters. That's pretty much the way I like to do it.
Right.
It's very complicated. Yeah. And so, long story short, and I'll be honest, I made $800 today, and I don't like talking.
Nice.
I'd rather tell you that I made 35% and 22% ROI in two trades.
Okay? What'd you make the $800 bucks on? What'd you make it on, man?
Ooh, no. I'll just say that I took advantage of somebody.
Can you say?
Commodity.
There you go.
Commodities out there. Lots of commodities out there.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, and I'd rather not say for the moment, but I will tell you that any commodity out there, you know that right now if it's attached to the dollar is what's fiat. And so it makes a very wavering. Yeah, and that's where your action is. Because if you got a cow, if you got a chair, if you got an orange, those are real. If you've got a so-called dollar, it originally was given that name because of a weight of metal. Specifically silver at the time, but gold later. And that's what they wanted. Yeah, that's what a dollar meant. Whether it's a dollar's worth of gold, dollar's worth of silver, at the time at which they introduced the coin, and eventually they got mad with that because people realized that we were doing all sorts of stuff to deface stuff. So they made beautiful coins called trade dollars in the 1870s. They wanted those to be most noticeable around the world. In the early 1900s, they asked Augustus St. Gaudens, since he won a contest, they said, make the most beautiful coin in the world. That was Teddy Roosevelt that ordered that. And he did. I now own a St. Gaudens. That's because of that. I own a St. Gaudens.
Good
I am
for
an
you.
Anesthetist. I love this stuff. Well, the other day at a QC, I got a 1905 Indian head and change. I got an Indian
Are
head
you
and change
serious?
In 2023. I did.
A gold piece and change?
When we next get together.
A gold piece?
And I don't know of any.
Really?
It was just one of the pennies. Yeah. And I don't know of any other coin that's worth 350
Indian penny.
Face value.
Oh, not the. I'm thinking the Indian head gold piece, not gold with the copper penny.
Gotcha. That's different. Yeah. No. It's a penny.
I found those in my change before, too. Yep.
Yeah, it's worth about $3.50. Yeah, the year that I got, 1905, it's worth about $3.50. There's some rare ones, and that type of thing. And I've gotten more expensive pennies and change before, mint luster wheat backs and stuff like that. But just 1905, totally different, obviously old, that type of thing. That'll never happen again. I've been collecting coins like that for, I'm gonna say, 54 years, maybe 55. And that'll never happen again in my lifetime, I'm pretty sure. That's just one of a kind. I will show it to my students one of these days if I have a slow enough day. But I even showed it to the guy that gave it to me. I said, you realize this means a lot to me. Thank you very much. And these lifetime experiences, everything I mentioned today, they all have one thing in common. Do you have your eyes open? The thing. Do you have your eyes open? Because there's value everywhere you look if you're still an American at heart. If you're still an American at heart, you can still find the freedom you want. You can still find beautiful coins you want. You can still find beautiful trading you want. you can still reach people before it's too late. We're running out of time, but it's, you know, I mean, you better, we need to be spewing win-wins everywhere, everywhere. And
that's right.
I still think, you know, what can we do to prevent somebody else from pressing a button and causing World War III? I don't know. I really don't know how to get to those people.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to take the profit out of it. It would be my angle. But the climate change thing, well, not climate change, but actual climate engineering thing, where you go outside and your skin feels like it's burning because it is, there is something we can do about that every day. You need to talk to somebody and say, this is not acceptable. We need to find every scientist that's lying, that's looking the other way, that knows this is going on, and just tell them, if you're looking for a pension and a paycheck, we're going to embarrass you to the point where you can't have it. We're going to keep talking about you look the other way. You put out a statement that said, you know, climate engineering is a last-ditch effort that will be a very difficult pill to swallow. And, sir, we've been swallowing that pill for 75 years. Give me a break. You knew or should have known.
Yeah.
And we talked about that on previous shows, right? Yeah, people who are morally bankrupt, they're willing to sell you, you know, insurance you don't need. I need new tires. I asked for summer tires. Top 10 retail stores in Phoenix don't have any summer tires in my size, and it's not a weird size.
They don't.
They just
I know.
Don't have tires. They nobody
well,
can
they
get
look,
tires
man, people burn them out here. Like, people go through tires here like toothbrushes. I mean,
well,
they're pretty. I mean, they just can't keep them in stock.
The summer tires, we know the summer tires can handle it, right? They're specially made. They're not that good in the winter. You know, you'll have to drive more carefully in the winter. But then, when the sun comes out and bakes them, they'll last longer. And there's your value if you're willing to do it. I tried that with windshield wipers today. I bought a pair of new windshield wipers, and I asked them, "Do you have summer version windshield wipers?" And they had a big rack of them. I mean,
you go, what's that?
15 cases. And they said, no, they said, we know what you're talking about. And no, we don't carry them. We don't have anything like
okay.
that. Okay. Best thing you can do is buy cheap and then know very well. And especially most cars these days have a long one and a short one.
Mm-hmm.
The long one's going to die first because it's always the weather that kills them. So
okay.
my suggestion in the future, if you have a 28-inch one and a 16-inch one like I do, get ready to just replace the 28 and save yourself some money. Because that's what's going to happen.
Right.
The longer one is going to take the summer's heat and die.
Right.
And you'll have to deal with that.
Right.
So yeah, that's my consumer thing. You'll save yourself about $9 doing that. I mean, $9 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, that adds up over
hey,
time.
$9 here, $9 there, it all adds up, man.
Well, and when it comes to the, we all know where the planes are flying out of here, it's right next to the Phoenix Airport on the other side of it. It's where the planes are coming from. Of course, we have this other problem.
Right.
The planes that are doing the climate engineering are not running their transponders, and now we're finding out real late that there's a bunch of near misses in the air, and they're not talking about it. It's a secret. And I would love to get somebody to do whistleblower saying, yeah, there's a bunch of planes having near misses in the air, and almost every one of those planes, we finally figured it out, they're dropping the junk. And so I don't know how people get away with stuff like that. I really don't.
Or chemtrails.
I mean, wow.
The chemtrails, man. Come on.
Chemtrails is a bad term. Chemtrails is a bad term. Because if you stick something out there, we don't know what the chemical is. But the chemicals that they're dropping in the skies are patented. We already know what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we know. And so chemical trails is a joke. Oh, by the way, chemical trails cannot be water vapor. You know that. Because if a jet engine, especially at regular height for flight, is dropping water vapor out the back, that engine's about ready to go bust. You might as well eject the pilot anyway. That, you know, that's bad news if you're putting out water vapor. So whatever you're seeing must be far worse than water vapor. Far worse. And that's going to be trouble. And I'm saying, of course, we've also seen, courtesy of Geoengineering Watch, they actually have films of six-engine planes actually turning their spigots on and off for the stuff they're dragging behind. You know, see the junk, don't see the junk. See the junk, don't see the junk. They can turn them on and off. And so, therefore, that's not a trail. It's not by definition a trail. It would be very much like if you're running a crop duster.
Right.
Except
right.
for a jet as a crop duster. It's a KC-135R here in Phoenix. Okay. We know what that is. It's a tanker. They modified it from 82 tons to carrying 100 tons of junk. And we know who paid for the junk. You mentioned him earlier. His last name is Gates. And we also know that these guys literally are, many of them are leased to look like commercial aircraft. And they don't turn their transponders on. I mean, it's getting serious.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's out to kill you. And they know you've got a bunch of guns. And they know they can't march tanks down Main Street. So they've got to come after you some other way. And if you start to catch on, they're just going to say, it was nature. Blame nature. Don't blame us. Don't blame anybody else you commonly want to blame. It's got to be nature. So this is their prize number one wartime weapon. And the war is against you. And that's the scary part. Once you see this, you realize, I may know how to take care of myself, to not take any shots, detox myself regularly, you know, take fiber and get stuff out of me. I'm breathing in probably, if I work outside, I'm probably breathing in a credit card's worth of plastic a week. I mean, get over it.
Mm-hmm.
You're under attack. And it's not just by Democrats. I mean, that's what they want you to believe, is only the Democrats can do something like this.
It's right.
Clearly
right.
not. You are not any more to your elected leaders of any type than a bigger and bigger liability. Bigger and bigger.
Yep.
You are, and you have all these guns, and they can't shut you up, and they can't kill you like that. So they've gone very creatively coming after your air, your water, your food, everything. Yeah, be prepared. But
I know.
Be
prepared. That's the theme of the show. Be prepared, folks. Well, Irish Spartan, thank you so much, man, for being on the show tonight. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah,
you have a great night, sir.
But I think it's necessary. Bye for now.
I do, too. I do, too. I'm with you. Thanks, sir. Have a great night. Irish Pirate, folks. Great, great call. Yeah, it's, you got to get red-pilled and black-pilled and realize that. I always tell folks, I go, do you really think more elections are what we're going to need? Do you really think that we can vote harder? And it's going to make a big, big difference? I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, really? I hope so. But I'm not so sure about that. That's how I put it. Look, it's crazy out there. We have a great chat here with the Lucid Libertarian. The rest of them left. But good call from Irish Pirate. We're in the last segment of the show. And we were in the chat room, me and Lucid Libertarian, talking about the cost of living. It's going to eat everyone's lunch, right? And the Pacific Northwest is beautiful up there, no doubt about it. But it is hard for people to, you know, make those kind of payments. And, you know, it's getting expensive here in Phoenix. A one-bedroom apartment now is $1,500 to $1,800. If you want a luxury Scottsdale apartment, probably $1,800 to $2,200 per month. That's for an apartment. Now, it'll be luxury. It'll be nice. Probably the cheapest apartments here are maybe $1,350 to $1,500 if you're lucky. And those go fast. You know, like I always tell folks, have you seen the demographics? We have 1 million people moving out to the Rocky Mountain states, and all demographics, 1 million. So the homes in this part of the country are only going to get higher and higher. It's going to get crazy. We have apartments here easily. You can easily get one for $2,500, $2,000, $1,800 to $2,000 is about the rule of thumb. That's a one bedroom. With a million people moving out to the Rocky Mountain states, this area is going to, the home prices are only going to go up. Now, I tell folks to go back east if you want a cheap home or something of that nature. And, you know, that's where the values are, Iowa, Texarkana area, Oklahoma, Missouri, flower country. Go back there. That's where you can still get a home for less than $150K. Just amazing. Well, we'll play this and be right back.
Once upon a time, there were three little girls who went to the police academy. And they were each assigned very hazardous duties. But I took them away from all that, and now they work for me. My name is Charlie.
That a little bit of nostalgia for you, mid to late 1970s, Charlie's Angels. I love it when he goes, I took them away from all that, and now they work for me. My name is Von Weehunt. Yes, love that, love that. So, so cool. That's when TV was awesome. We had the best shows back then, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s had some good shows too, like Two and a Half Men. That's hilarious. Well, we come to another end of a broadcast day, sadly but surely, comes up on us. Great chat room tonight. Just know this, America, that the U.S. Constitution says that the Second Amendment shall not be infringed on the people by any federal government authority that happens to be in charge at the present moment. At the present moment, if they persist over and over again, there will only be more pushback from the people. So in my view, they should tread lightly here, i.e. the 1776 phrase, don't tread on me or else. And remember the other banner for the Revolutionary War, join or die. Join the Von Weehunt Army. Be here every week. We love you and appreciate you. Call in, get in the chat room. I'm on Gab every day. You can always reach me there as well, gab.com. Also, don't forget our great website for prepper materials, survivemax.com. And we have some big things coming up this fall and winter. Thank you all for being here as I sign off from Valhalla Studios in the mountains of Arizona. A great broadcast day. Thank you all. We will talk, as you know, next week. I guarantee it. Thank you and good night.